Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the gentleman said, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Good morning, 2015. It is January 24th. 1 month ago, we were just on the cusp of the holiday. 4 weeks later, where are you? Well, some of you were thinking about your health. And one of the things you do each year in regard to your health is you go to your medical doctor, you go to your hospital under your particular health care plan, if you even have one, and you get your physical exam. So today's show is your physical exam 2015, the one your doctor never learned. And believe me, he never learned this one. Maybe you have because you listen to the show regularly. And what this will come down to then is really the way I would look at you, the way I think doctors should look at you when you walk in as they develop a relationship year after year after year. I mean, that's the idea, right? You have a doctor, it's your regular doctor, and that doctor knows you maybe on certain levels that nobody knows you. And over the years, your doctor creates a profile. So first concept, there's no such thing as a physical exam, like you get one in New York, and then you get one in L.A., and then you get one in China, and they don't have anything to do with each other. That's the inferior view. The superlative view is to understand, the high-end view is to understand that you have a health profile, that the cumulative effect of your physical and clinical exams and your tests are trying to create, so that you use these tests, exams, so on and so forth, relationships, as a way of getting to know yourself. Now that's a physical exam you're not getting. Number one, when you walk in for a physical exam, one very important thing your doctor should ascertain is whether or not you have bile flow. Bile flow. You've never heard that before, right? Yeah. Hopefully you're on the website straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. If you're new to the show, you've got to follow this show with the pictures if you can. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, under today's show, show 192. That's 192 hours. From the guts of me, hopefully, to the soul of you. Picture number one, concept. You know where your liver is, and you know there are those, if you take a look at picture number one, there's this big highway of passages, canals, going deep into your liver. This is, the liver is your largest organ, in a sense. Okay, we say the skin is, but that's not really a functional statement. The liver is the big hunk inside you in your upper right-hand quadrant, we say. So on your rib cage in the upper right side. It extends from the front of you all the way to the back of you up high. And in that liver are these passageways, and in those passageways, your body uses these passageways called bile veins to dump into the gallbladder and from there into the intestine. And what your liver does, because it's smart and knows that these bile veins are going into the toilet ultimately, from your small intestine out through the, into the toilet. What your liver does is it sucks out, it filters out all the garbage in your blood, stuff that you make that's garbage, the natural garbage. And then it also filters out the exogenous, that garbage that comes from the outside to the inside of you. So the stuff that's chemically made, synthetically derived, all the pollution, pollutants, pesticides, petrochemicals, your liver dumps into these bile veins, and the stuff you make, the poisons you make, the body dumps into the bile veins. The question is, does the bile flow? The ramification of poor bile flow, and again, this is the idiocy of Western medicine. It's like your bile flows or it doesn't flow. It's a yes or a no. The world doesn't work with yeses or nos. Reality's in that gray zone, always. Functionally speaking, is a gray zone. So of course your bile flows. If you eat nothing but Aunt Jemima's pancakes and McDonald's each morning, your bile's going to flow. If you're 40 or 90, your bile's going to flow. This has nothing to do with the point. The point is, does your bile flow copiously? Does it flow with what I term patency? Thus, these exercises, these liver and gallbladder flushes, but that's old hat to you. Go anywhere to hear that. Go on YouTube and look it up. It's not the point of the show. The point of this show is for you to understand that when you assess your health, when you have a symptom that you have to reference to your health, when you go to your medical doctor and get your physical exam and you walk out with a piece of paper that says you've got sterling grades because everything's normal, this is a crock. It's nonsense. Most of us could take that physical and clinical exam and stuff it. They're not even ordering the right tests. They don't know how to interpret the tests they even order most of the time. So, number one on your list, bile flow. Why? Because if you can't get the stuff out of your blood into your gallbladder and out of your body patently, copiously, abundantly, rapidly, the stuff in your blood is going to deposit in the lipophilic sites, the fat soluble sites in your body, like your breast tissue, like your brain, like your spinal cord. And that explains so much. Enough said. Can't do the whole show on this. We've done a couple of one-hour presentations on liver gallbladder. Go to it. Here's picture number two. Honestly, one last little thing to say on bile flow. When you do the coffee enemas, does it look like that in the toilet? Done. If it does, you've got patency. If it doesn't, you don't have it yet. Can you take down half a cup, three-quarters of a cup of olive oil, sleep well on it, get up, and blow it out so it looks like that in the toilet? Can you do that easily? Have you done that 20 or 30 times to compensate you for 40, 50, 60 years of what? Corrosion up in those bile ducts. It's called bile sand. Do you have a gallstone? No, you don't. Are those deep bile veins occluded with sand, what we call sand? It's not a stone. It's a microstone. Yes, they are, no matter who you are. So there's the first question you ought to be asked in your physical exam. We ought to be able to ascertain whether or not you have bile flow. Here's one that always gets overlooked, sleep. Yeah, occasionally 3 hours you can do it. But over a year or 2 years or 3 years, your sleep profile. Do you remember what it was like to sleep carefree and deeply? That's when you had health. It's the last time you had health. Because if you haven't slept carefree and deeply for a year, 2 years, 3 years, you no longer have health. You are headed in the wrong direction. Now, don't trust me. He has T.S. Wiley and Bent Formby. He's got a couple of PhDs. He's out of Sweden. Lights Out is the book. It's picture number three, Lights Out. I don't make this stuff up. I experience it clinically, the different sleep mix. When I have sick people to help, it may take 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. It may take a year. But when they start sleeping straight, deeply, carefree, they heal. That's huge. Okay, that's my worldview. Read the book. Read any book. Oh, yeah, you know about it. It's important. No, it's not important. It's at the top of the list. So for 2015, if you did two things, got your bile flowing, and started taking the steps towards deep sleep, you'd do more for yourself than that $100 a week you're spending on your herbs. And that's the bottom line. And that's not to knock the herbs. Spend it if you got it. Good herbs will help. But they never substitute for these principles. Okay, that's the moral of this show, the mantra of this show. Blood sugar, picture number four, blood sugar. You want to do one thing this year for your health? First of all, the test you get, the fasting blood glucose test is stupid. Yes, 2015 will be a year of more direct language. It's stupid. It really is. I don't have any other word for it. People can live in a state of hyperglycemia their entire life and stay and get terribly damaged as a result. The oxidative stress that everyone's yakking about, secondary to high blood sugar, can occur for decades. And you will never see it in a fasting blood glucose test. If you are reasonably strong, if you are reasonably sound, if you are of a reasonably sound, strong constitution, and we let your blood sugar skyrocket to 300 every night after you eat your high fructose corn syrup meal, drink a six pack, have the dessert, the whole thing, after 8 hours of sitting still, 2 hours in the car, 2 hours to get the test. In other words, a 10 to 12 fasting blood glucose, your blood glucose is going to go to normal. Okay. What does that mean? It means you escape detection. The real test is the glucose tolerance test, which nobody runs. They don't run it. You can run it. Go out for breakfast, eat pancakes, have soda, have a milkshake, chocolate, strawberry, have donuts, have English muffins, lots, about 2,000 calories worth. Give yourself an hour to digest it if you don't vomit. And then take your blood sugar with what? With what every diabetic in America takes their blood sugar with. I put it there, picture number 4. That is the Accu-Check Aviva. It costs you under $100. The strips are expensive. The little machine there is cheap. That's how they get you. They get you on the strips. Strips are $1 a piece, but the machine's $20 or something, if you join the club. And then you can talk to your fellow diabetics in chat rooms, and everyone can talk about which toe is falling off this week. That's really the way it is. I'm not making it up. We have these clubs. So get your AccuCheck. It's cheap. And do what? Do that test yourself. Test yourself all day. Your job, you keep your blood sugar under 100 all day long. That's right. And as far as this carb dilemma is concerned, here's the thing with carbs. Carbs can be good for you. Carbs can be bad for you. McDougal says they're good. David Wolf used to say they're good. Who knows what he's up to now? But the point is this. Carbs are only as good as your blood sugar is controlled. No one will argue that whatever carb somebody is arguing you can put into your body, if 1 hour later your blood sugar is 120, 130, 140, 150, 180, you've made a mistake with that. If that bowl of oatmeal 1 hour later shows your blood sugar to be 80, well, then somebody can make an argument for that bowl of oatmeal, especially if you digest it and you feel good with it. But nobody will argue that postprandial blood glucose over 100 is healthy. So that's how you do it. You get an AccuCheck. So your physical exam to your doctor ought to be, patient, in the course of a day, where is your blood sugar? Did you take it? Do you have relationship with the foods that you ingest and what it does to your blood sugar? And that's an evolution, and there's no book that can give you the specific answer to this. You have to figure it out yourself like any scientist would, which is the concept. Now look at that. Get your bile flowing, get your sleep, and keep your blood sugar under 100. You want help? I just gave it to you. Three things you do. And you know what? They're all free. They're free. They don't involve herbs. They don't involve great expenses. They just involve your intelligence, your education, and your knowing just the deep implications of what it is to have high blood sugar. Your bile doesn't flow. You don't get your sleep, and you live with high blood sugar. You will rot at a much younger age than you were supposed to rot. And it is that simple. What are we sending doctors to school for 10 to 20 years to teach them all the intricacies of pathology when the answers are this simple? That's stupid. Number 4. Here's a big one. This is a big one. There it is. Number 4. That is a Gauss meter. It's $300. Buy one. What'd you spend over the holiday? Just that restaurant meal was $300. $200. $1,000. What did you spend over the holidays. Well, here's something you allocate as soon as you can. $300, that's a Gauss meter from F.W. Bell. You see that number there, 2.1 milligauss? I will not live, eat, or sleep in anywhere that's under, that's over 0.5. When I take that thing around mine, car, apartment, home, mansion, condominium, freeway, it doesn't matter, office, you'll see those numbers spike anywhere from 10 to 100. Cross currents, I think it was on one of my shows a few weeks ago, Becker, two-time Nobel laureate. No one argues with Becker. If you're living in 3 milligauss or more, you're risking your life. Yes, you are. It is not a good thing to do. Again, simple test. Why aren't our medical doctors saying, what does your electromagnetic profile look like? What are you working in? What are you sleeping in? What are you driving in? What's 80% of your day in? If you did that, if you did those four things, your life would change drastically for the better. Now, this is a physical exam. We're compiling physical exam 2015, the one your doctor never learned, and no, they didn't. And while they're running around in circles, trying to figure out whether any of these claims are valid, trying to find research money to determine whether milligauss is damaging you, it's killing millions, and it's getting worse. Some people think by, I don't know, the next 50 years or so, the entire city of Los Angeles will be encircled in a magnetic, in a radiation cloud of 3 milligauss, meaning you will not be able to go anywhere in the city of Los Angeles that'll be under 3 milligauss. And I can see that coming. I mean, you take these things into heavily concentrated office areas, and you can't find a place under 3 milligauss. It's astounding. And this is what's happening. All right. Here's a simple one. It's so easy. You tell your medical doctor you're constipated. He asks you how often you go. You tell him every other day. He says that's normal. I mean, you've heard these stories. It's normal to go once a week. It's everybody's different. That's not normal. It's not healthy. And the more you poop, the better it is. To a certain point, of course, but you know what that point is. Also, don't be afraid of diarrhea. Meaning, if you're cleaning out, if you're cleansing, if you're taking herbs, whatever you're doing and you start getting diarrhea, that diarrhea is moving bile. If that diarrhea that comes out of you is yellowish-green, if it smells sickly, be glad it's coming out of you. Now, of course, this is within reason, right? You don't want it. You don't want accidents. But the point is, people, the minute it's soft, the minute they have to run occasionally, meaning to the bathroom, they freak out. They panic. Something's desperately wrong. This is stupid. Don't do this to yourself. Diarrhea is important because it's something your body's excreting rapidly because it's toxic. And you want that to happen. One of the most pathetic things I see people do, I saw a cancer person do this the other week. All the hard work to get the body to start upregulating its bile flow, causing diarrhea. And the first thing the cancer person does is call the doctor, and the doctor gives the cancer person Imodium to stop the diarrhea. Now, the minute you have diarrhea that you're excreting and you stop its expulsion with something idiotic like Imodium, what that forces then is that toxic bile back into your ambient circulation, and it makes you sicker. So then the woman's fever went up. She hit 101 fever because she was being self-poisoned because she stopped her diarrhea. And then, of course, they told her, well, you've got cancer, so obviously you're immunocompromised, so now we have to give you IV antibiotics. I could sit here for 5 hours and off the top of my head, like I'm doing the show right now, basically just give you case study after case study after case study after case study of how people get completely and totally destroyed by idiotic medical logic. And they're good doctors, too, but they just aren't thinking. You don't have to think to be a medical doctor. You just have to memorize things. You know, the doctorates, the scientists call medical school memory school. You can find lots of parrots to memorize things, but to have somebody think clinically, to observe, to do the Sherlock Holmes routine, This is smart stuff. So what am I after here? I'm after impressing upon you the importance of going to the bathroom. There it is, picture number 5. If you're new to the show also, this is Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Your physician's, your physical exam, 2015, the one your doctor never learned. Picture number 5. That's Schultz intestinal formula number 1. That formula works. You got to be very careful with it. And of course, don't take these things without the consent and approval of your medical doctor, because occasionally they can be harmful to your health. So you have to get medical approval first. But aside from that, you can take things. Take them slowly in increments and get more bowel flow. Get more bowel flow. That's a great formula. It moves bricks out of people's bodies. It can be too strong, so start small. I'll take 6 or 7 at a 6-month clip and clean it out. Now, what do we mean clean it out? Clean what out? Why do you want to go to the bathroom more? Why do you want a colon cleanse? Why do you want to do these things to yourself? Because you need the mucus layer debrided. The mucus layer has to be debrided from the inside of the bowel wall. Now, go to picture number 9. Great morning picture. Hope I didn't just ruin your breakfast. Picture number 9. Now, the mythology of these colon cleanses is that, and this is the idiocy of the holistic community now, you have people who aren't thinking on both sides. Believe me, it's both sides. It's not just medical doctors, it's holistic practitioners. Picture number 9 there. That's the product of a colon bowel cleanse. It's one you should do. Picture 10 is cleanse and purify, Anderson's Clean Me Out program. Great doctor, Richard Anderson, knows a lot about cleaning a colon. But here's the point. Picture number 9. What is picture number 9? They tell you that that stuff is in you. Dark, black, stinky stuff. It's in you. Pounds of it. Hundreds of pounds of it. Thousands of pounds of it. You're going to burst with it. It's coming out your ears on the way to the work in the morning. This is a joke. It is not true. It doesn't look like that up there. That's not what's up there. They're going to tell you picture number 9. If you're driving, these black, ropey, tarry stools stuck in you, hundreds of pounds of them. And when they come out, it's proof that that's the way it is. That is nonsense. That is a holistic misnomer or scam. That stuff is not in you. What you're looking at in picture number 9 is very simply the effect of the herbs that you take in these cleanse and purify plants. Any of them make the stools dark black. That's what they do. And then, because you're ingesting lots of fiber, psyllium husk, okra, different sorts of things, because you're ingesting a lot of these bloating, bulking agents, the feces that develops pushes up against the inside of the haustra of the large intestine. So it gives it that scallopy shape. So you get these dark, black, scallopy-shaped, big fecal masses, like long, long, long 2-foot sausages, because you've bulked up so much. These things develop, and of course they've got this thick, greasy mucoid layer. And it gives you the impression that, of course, this is the way you're living until you cleanse your colon. And you're sitting there 60 pounds overweight with all this bloat between your belly button and your pubic bone, and you're assuming that's the way it is. I do what scientists do. I sit down with gastroenterologists and I say, Charlie, when you scope somebody, do you see that? Now, Charlie doesn't have a vested interest in telling me, no, I don't see it. And then when I turn my back, Charlie says, gee, I sure fooled him. I see this stuff all the time. No, Charlie does not see it. The gastroenterologists don't see this stuff because it's not there. So why do a colon cleanse? What's the real reason that in a physical exam, your doctor, even though he's ignorant of this, should be making sure you're having 2-3 good ones a day? because the mucus layer inside the intestinal tract needs to be regularly debrided. When you take these bulking agents, psyllium husk, okra, so on and so forth, when you take these debriding agents, their purpose is to scrape the mucus. Now, when you scrape mucus, your body produces more mucus. It's so simple. It's so easy to understand then. Any type of colon cleanse, any type of pooping agent that causes more abrasion on the inner lining of the large intestine, as long as it's not too irritating, is good because it will increase the rate at which you form new mucus. And if you form new mucus, it gives the bacteria in there less time to plant their biofilms. And you bet the biofilms are living in the ecosystem of the large intestine. So there's another one. The doctors should be assaying your poop profile. And I put in picture number 8, different hazards of a toxic colon. You ought to look at that. Picture 10, that's cleanse and purify Richard Anderson. Now here's another thing we ought to remember. The same way you ought to flush your colon, the same way you ought to flush your gallbladder, liver gallbladder, is the same way you ought to flush your kidney. The way you think of the kidney is the kidney backs up your water-soluble crystalline deposits. In other words, in your ear when you can't hear, in your eye when you can't see, in your heart when you're plaqued, in your joints when you're screaming in arthritic pain, are kidney stones. That's right. No, not literally, right? Yes, literally. Calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, uric acid are the precipitates of urate and the soluble calcium derivatives, phosphate, hydroxyapatite, so on and so forth. In other words, what collects in the kidney as a stone is supposed to be circulating through your entire body liquid. But if your chemistry's off, these liquid, soluble masses of water between your cells and your joints and your brain on the inside of your arteries, if the chemistry's off, they will form these stones. Sand. It'll deposit everywhere. That's why in Chinese medicine we say the kidney reflexes to the ear and to the knees. Why? What's the point of that? Back up the kidney, you'll back up your joints. When the kidney aches with sand, not stones. Who, me? I don't have to listen to this show. I don't have kidney stones. I don't have gallstones. That is stupid. The relatives, the friends, the people in your neighborhoods that don't think this is about them are ignorant. And that's simple. Because all of these soluble water masses in the body will precipitate little sand, sand in the gallbladder, sand in the kidney. With some people, not all people, some people, these precipitates build up to stones, and then we go to ER screaming. And then the genius is there, cut your gallbladder out. Thank God they don't cut kidneys out for these things. They lithotripsy them, they blow them up with dynamite. Okay? By the way, I have the first confirmation of a very intelligent young man on the ER table, screaming in gallbladder pain, telling the MDs, do not cut out my gallbladder. Push the stone through. And lo and behold, they pushed the stone through easily. He saved his gallbladder and lived to talk about it. Bravo to him. I think eventually I'm going to bring him on the show. He's doing the rest of the cleaning right now. And that's what you can do. You can start to think creatively with your medical doctor. And there are medical doctors that will do that. This isn't a show bashing medical doctors. I have great respect for medical doctors. I have no respect, well, little respect for their curriculums. They're trained in acute care. When it's too late and you're screaming in pain, call 911. Don't go to your local nutritionist. But as far as preventative, they know nothing about this. And they act like they do, and they don't. And we have a terrible dilemma. Don't be part of the stupid club, which is to believe that you're getting a yearly physical at whatever healthcare facility you've chosen, and because it's okay, you're okay. That is dumb money. Back to the kidney, the sand. Clean the kidney. Here's the notorious Dr. Schultz, picture number 12, his five-day kidney detox. Do anybody's kidney detox. I'll leave that to you. Just go on the internet and find good providers of different herbs and stuff. Schultz is a good one. Dr. Marshall, of course, is fantastic. Any of these things. Clean out the sand in the kidney. Drink potato juice. Look into these practices. So you sit down for a physical exam with your medical doctor. Does he ever ask you, when was the last time you cleaned the sand out of your kidney? When was the last time you cleaned the sand out of your gallbladder? Do you have biliary patency? What's your EMF profile? How many times a day do you defecate? When was the last time you did a colon cleanse? Are you sleeping 7 straight deep hours each night, waking up refreshed? Or are you dragging it? Or you haven't known a good night's sleep in 20 years? Don't worry about that, Fred. It's got nothing to do with your health. There are no studies that support that. The stupid club. Don't be part of it. Check out Schultz's 5-day kidney detox. All right, let's keep going. Let's do that. Let us continue. Ladies, if you're still having your period, regulate it. If it's 5 days, get it to 3 days. If it's clotty, if it's painful, get rid of your PMS. Your PMS is a marker for the rest of your body. Blood stasis, blood viscosity. I've mentioned these concepts. They're measured in hematology. They're not measured by your doctor at Kaiser. The question that your doctors should ask you, ladies, if you're having your period, what is it like? Do you bleed 3 days? Do you know when you ovulate? Are you in touch with the uterus, with your fallopian tubes, with your vaginal canal? Do you even know where your cervix is? Have you ever touched your cervix? Men, have you ever touched your own prostate? Do you know what these things feel like? Have you created relationship with organs that later on in life you're going to lose? They're going to prolapse as you get old. They're going to become cancerous. They're going to become toxic. They're going to enlarge. They're going to shrink. They're going to twist. They're going to groan. They're going to bleed. Do you even know where they are? This is what you need to be asked by your doctors in your hospitals. And if not, whoever provides health care for you. Are you developing relationships with body parts? Relationships that teach you who you are? Believe me. You know what your prostate feels like? You know how to palpate into your own prostate to grab it with your own hand? Ooh, gross. That's disgusting, Medici. Let me tell you what's disgusting. What's disgusting is bodies that don't know who and what they're made of. That's disgusting. What's disgusting is people that don't know where their orifices are. What's disgusting is when people lose organs to diseases. Because there's no perfusion into the organ and no drainage out of the organ. And they don't know how to approach it. And when they hear it, they think that's disgusting. Now that's disgusting. I'm disgusted. No, I'm not disgusted. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I love doing this show. It's one of the best parts of my week. It's like birth every single week. I never get tired of talking about this stuff. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you can find a better show in America on talk radio, let me know about it. I want to listen to that show. But most of these shows are selling you stuff. Most of these shows are just asking you to help buy houses. And I'm sorry, that's what it comes down to. We have to give you the fundamentals. And then you should buy the herbs, because that's how it really works. Herbs speed things up. Instead of spending 5 years to heal, you might spend a year or two. That's their purpose. But when we emphasize one and leave out the other, we make big boo-boos. And this is done too often broad scale. The art of health is to understand why you're doing what you're doing, because if you don't, you won't make the time. And all of us are subject to that, right? Who wants to make the time to do colon cleanses? Who wants to make time to do coffee enemas? No one's got time. Everybody's running out of time. This is America. After you're 30 years old, you're old. The minute you need a facelift, you're useless. The minute somebody stops proofing you when you buy booze at the supermarket, you're insulted. You understand. So who has time for this? you have to have the understanding that health makes wealth, but really in the practice of you. So these suggestions should be part of what the culture exalts. We exalt practices in church on Sunday. We have to exalt practices of health. Really, a physical exam is an opportunity to go into communion with your health care provider to determine your health practice. That's the art of it. Let's keep going. So, ladies, regulate your period. No clots, not too many days. It should be a day or two. Tops 3 days. How many women don't have a period, or how many women bleed all week long? How many women, really, over 3 to 4 decades, have had 25% of their life destroyed because each week, each month, when they have their period, it's hell? And they'll tell you that. And so now we've created, thank God for Pharmaco, right? Pharmaco will give you a pill, young ladies, to get rid of your period. Now, that's normal. Endometriosis is normal. Polycystic ovaries are normal. Cesareans are normal. Episiotomies are standard. We don't even know how to birth kids anymore. Their heads keep coming out more narrow and narrow and narrow. Your average kid today looks like a goldfish in a bowl. Its head is so narrow because the woman can't dilate, because their hips are so narrow, because the bones are so puny, because we're not feeding them fertile food, that we're starting to learn, we're starting to forget good birthing practices. And yet, the bright light in the sky is that other women are really capitalizing on this. The culture is schisming into two groups, the smarts and the stupids. Be part of the smart club. Get educated on this stuff. So, ladies, pick one thing out of what I've said today. Listen to the show, even if I don't get through it, as I normally don't. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Spend the $2 or buy, 191 shows? You should do it because I'm raising the price to $39.95 from $24.95. It's 191 shows. If I'm not worth a dime a show, I'm doing something wrong. Listen to your body and turn that period this year into a 3-day pleasurable bleed. And you will inherit more health in that act than you will in anything you can do for yourself. All right, let's keep going. Learn the isolations versus simple, useless stretching. Did you hear what I just said? Those of you who are out there doing yoga, I don't think we're getting yoga in America today. I'm after the yoga community because I don't think they're teaching yoga. They're teaching some watered-down nonsense. And fundamentally, yoga is about isolations. Now, look at Pilates, picture number 15. Go to picture number 15. Now, there's a picture of Joseph Pilates. He's in his 70s. Look at the mass on that man. Now, that's a dude that understood health. Go do a Google search on Pilates images. Look at the size of those feet. Frogman. Look at those paws on him. That is a big, strong dude. That was Joseph Pilates. And what he's doing is an isolation. He's stretching out the suboccipital muscles. Now, that's one of many isolations. What's an isolation versus a stretch? An isolation occurs when you stretch into a tendon. That's where the muscle meets the bone, right at the joint. You stretch into that, and you pull on it until it burns. And then you use breath so it lets go. And on the other side of that letting go, your bones align. And anybody that's taught any movement therapy, from Iyengar to Jessica Chara to Patavi Joyce to Alexander, to anybody, to Pilates, to your local gym teacher down the street, to your dog and your cat, are doing isolations. And isolation is distinct from a stretch because it pulls the tendon. So I'm going to encapsulate pulling the tendon, which is not done in yoga. You're not getting that. You're getting boot camp, and then you're getting very soft form. And nobody's holding themselves accountable to realigning tissue, meaning allowing on the other side of the stretch the bones to align and the prana to flow. The prana. The prana. I said the prana, the chi. the universal life force, the spirit, the energetic shift. You can call it anything you want it. The Eskimos had a name for it. The Christians have a name for it. Everybody's got a name for it. Everybody knows when the body is exalted in a body motion. And that is a godly experience. And when you manipulate your body correctly, you'll feel that. You have to do in isolation to feel that. So if this year alone, or if your doctor would assess your level of flexibility and then say to you, do you understand what it is to isolate a joint? I can do it at the desk right now as I broadcast. I can take 2 seconds right now as I'm talking. I don't know if you heard that crack on air. I can pull my joints apart on demand. And that's a critical thing to learn for everybody. You know who does that regularly? That's right. You're petting it right now, your dog and your cat. If you observe them, they are constantly isolating joints, pulling the joint apart, and then experiencing the bliss in their body. And that is something to learn. Something else to learn is picture number 16. We're moving right along now. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. The brain in your gut, picture number 16, your enteric nervous system. What does this mean? It means I'm hungry. It means I eat. It means when I eat certain foods, I have this explosion in my body of vitality. I feel nourishment from my food. I feel satiety. I don't feel a full belly based upon gluttony. I don't feel a sugar high, but I actually taste and feel the nourishment of my food, because if you give your small intestine that, you will release GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, and the GABA will go up and create a dance in your brain, because the second brain is in your gut. And it will divine, it will supervise, it will counsel, it will coax, it will cajole you into proper food choices that feed your body. Now, women who are pregnant understand this. Animals understand this. Children understand this. Adults forget it. Adults get the big, that's what they get on this one. Adults stuff their faces. Adults get low blood sugar or high blood sugar. They get hungry. They shove it down. They don't chew it. They bloat. They get gas. They get all these different things. Then they take pharmaceuticals to make sure we cover up for the reflux or for the gas or for the diarrhea or for the rest of it. And food no longer becomes a sensual, delicious treat. And that's the way it's supposed to be, a sensual, delicious treat. Now, that is how you heal. You know, the absolute irony of this is that when you have sick people and you're advising them on how to navigate their way to health, and you have sick people, until the food choice becomes an explosion of joy, divined by something outside their analytical mind, until the food choice becomes a godly explosion, they do not heal. This is what we call teaching the brain that lives in your gut, the enteric nervous system. It's in the literature. It's everywhere. It abounds, but it's not functional. So another thing your doctor should ask you is, what are your food cravings? Mrs. Smith, before we cut out 12 feet of your intestine, before you poop into a bag for the rest of your life, before we give you bad news about how the colon cancer spread to your nodes and now we're stage 3 or 4, before any of this, before any of this occurs, before you have one cancerous cell, when you eat, do you choose from health or from head? Does food make you happy? Do you feel the strength of the food? Do you find that at times you crave this and at times you crave that? Do you live like you lived when you were pregnant, when you just had to have it? You had to have berries and cream. You had to have it. Because little Junior in there, the fate of the nation depended upon that 9-month gestation. And my son Herman's going to get the best. And I'm craving strawberries. So, honey, go out and get me strawberries. fly to South America. It's the off season. Get me strawberries. Do you live like that? Your dogs and your cats do, unless you've destroyed them. And this is all about the enteric nervous system. That's a profile. That's something you evolve. You evolve a relationship with your foods. Let's keep going. Coffee, give it up. Give up coffee, okay, once a week. Give it up. Caffeine's bad. Can I have black tea? No. Can I have green tea? Other than the health reasons, no. Can I do yerba mate? You know, up in Santa Monica, they don't drink coffee. They do yerba mate because it's cool. No. Get rid of caffeine. It doesn't work. Don't believe me. There's a book, Picture 17, Chinisky's book. But you see, in clinical practice, you see people. You have them give up coffee. It helps them. People live on coffee. Give it up. You want your coffee? You know where to go. To the enema bucket. Blow bile. Give up coffee. Adaptogens. Picture number 18. Develop a relationship. Do you have a relationship with adaptogenic herbs? Everyone should take adaptogenic herbs. If what? If the ashwagandha, if the rhodiola, if the cordyceps, if the reishi, if the ginseng, if the royal jelly, if the propolis, if these things can be received, can you receive divinity? That's effectively what we're asking you here. Have you coordinated yourself internally to be able to embrace what nature's divined with God's supervision? It's a cool way to look at it. That's the way you should look at it. Nature makes things. And you think, you're delusional if you think this, that you just buy it and take it down. No, you have to have a relationship. You just don't put these things in your mouth and they work. You have to work for them. Herbs don't work for you. You work for the herb. There's a concept that flips itself. There's no such thing as you took the herb and it didn't work for you. You didn't work for the herb. Now, this assumes you get the real herbs. All right? So, you know, Healthline, Premier Research Labs makes great herbs. I think Tea Garden makes great herbs. Schultz makes excellent herbs. And everyone can argue about who makes the better herb. I couldn't care less about this. There are herbalists who do a very good job. I just mentioned three. And there are herbalists who are jokers. And it's not the point of this show. You go figure it out. But my point to you is, are you developing relationships so when you put that herb down, you can rest assured, you can put your dollar on the most important single way to determine the efficacy of an herb, and that is, do you feel something? If you're taking 25 capsules of reishi or 25 capsules of cordyceps or some tincture, do you feel it affect you? If you've got a decent herb and it doesn't affect you, you're not working for the herb. You can't be bleeding from the foot profusely and expect to feel the benefit of herbs. Meaning you can't be distraught physically or mentally and expect to feel the effect of an herb. It doesn't work that way. That's a myth. Yeah, I took the herbs. I mean, I know I bought the best. I took lots of it, too, but I just don't feel it. You sure are you sure you didn't feel it? I don't feel it. What do you feel? Well, you know, I don't really feel anything. Start looking there. And that doesn't mean something's wrong with you in the sense of your psyche or your soul. It just means something needs to evolve. So one of the things your doctors should be able to cultivate with you over a period of years is, do you have relationship with your body so you can have relationship with the things that can help your body? Herbs are very demanding. You might appreciate three poached eggs. But herbs are way more demanding. Picture number 20, geopathic stress. Did a show on it last week. What are you living in? You living in a yurt? You living in a cabin up in Big Bear? You living in your car? What are you living in? A $10,000 a month house that's all concrete and steel, sitting inside a computerized room, and the Gauss meter's reading 25 milligauss. That's what you're paying good money for. Or that's what you just bought into? Don't do that, because you will get diseased that way. Whatever disease you get, it was partially driven by milligauss that doesn't allow you to receive the good rays of the earth and the sky. And that you're basically a transducer. In other words, you intensify the junction point, the confluence between the rays coming out of the earth and the sky. And you're in between, and God gave you a hypothalamus, a pineal gland, ventricular system to basically propel and potentiate the intersection of those two rays from the earth and the sky. Yes, that is where it's at. Yes, that is what Vastu and the meridian system and Feng Shui are all about. And yes, these things will dominate medicine over the next 100 years, because some rocket scientist is finally going to make a machine, and then the medical community is going to go, wow, we've just made this great discovery. You realize how stupid this process is? Every time something comes down the pipe that we experience as authentic clinically, where we see time and time and time again, meaning what? Take yourself out of your house, plant your head on the earth, whether it's a yurt, a cabin on some green, fertile territory, and you will see healing occur. You will observe an improvement, a drastic improvement in your health. And every time we see these things, somebody proposes some sort of theory that they attach science to, but then it's 200 years later, and the medical community is still arguing about the authenticity of the statement. Despite the literature, the clinical experience, don't be part of that club. Go out and feel it yourself. So really, in a better world, your physical exam would be about your doctor seeing, are you living in EMF, and what do you live in? Oh, you live in that place down there on Crenshaw and Hawthorne. It's built of big steel beams. You're locked in high-heated concrete sheaths inside a room with 25 milligauss, or that's where you work 60 hours a week and then drive home on the same mess on the freeway. And we're trying to figure out why you're diabetic, why you've got ulcerative colitis, why you've got IBS, why you've got a tumor, why your tumor came back. You see the problem here. What are you getting in a physical exam if you're not getting that? I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. You got a problem with health, you want to do a little work, that's the number you call. Make the appointment, come in, we'll set you straight. I have a great staff, we know how to do it. If you want to do it, if you want to joke around, don't call. But if you want to engage, do call. Some of you need to engage, or you're going to be walking the plank soon. Don't wait that long. Picture number 21. Go to picture 21. Banya. You hear me squawk about Banya all the time. There's the inside of a Banya. What's a Banya? Get some wood, build a little cabin, throw some rocks in, heat the rocks, get the temperature up to 160, 180, better 200. I went with my buddy this week down to Voda. We created a lot of trouble there that day. 220 degrees in that Banya room, and then we plunged into water that was 40 degrees. Much to the amazement of the other people in there. No one does that. The ice pool sits there. The people of Finland are disgusted. The Finns live this way. Everyone's got Banya in their backyard, their little plot of backyard. Heat it up and get icy. Heat it up and get icy. Heat it up and go into the snow. Are you fluent in a Banya practice? Because that's health. That's part of the physical exam. Have you mastered the exercises of health? Because they are indicators of where you're going with your health. Now, you can't say if you don't do it, you're going to get cancer. That's ridiculous. But if you don't have enough vital health practices, you are definitely looking for trouble. And so this ought to be in our physical exams. What is your health practice? What is the health practice you've evolved? And Banya ought to be way up there on the list. Everyone can afford a Banya. Everyone can go to a spa. Down here in Orange County, we've got the iSpots. $20 to go into that thing. $20. $20. It's spotless. Vote is $40. It's clean. These aren't dirty places. These are totally legit therapeutic places that cultures have used. And America's starting to do this. The spa movement is going to explode. I can guarantee you, you will see this explode because people are stressed. They are really stressed. They are stressed and they're holding their breath, which takes me to the next point. Picture number 28, diaphragmatic breathing. I wish I could share with you what I just did 2 seconds ago. As I said, diaphragmatic breathing, I took a breath. I'm not kidding you. I felt the inside of my head expand. I felt my upper cervicals expand out and decompress. And then I felt this wonderful warm feeling come all the way down my back into my feet. It keeps me going. I'm alive because of it. You may not know what I'm talking about. You may think diaphragmatic breath is you breathe in hard and you push out hard. Then you have no clue. And I assure you, 98% of you have no clue. That's my great pain. I wish you understood that breath creates a single breath done correctly. A diaphragmatic breath relaxes the body radically, not marginally, radically. And this is what and why you hear rumored throughout Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, Yoga, Pilates, Feldenkrais, you name it. This is why you hear breath is life. Breath balances the autonomic nervous system. And we are out of time. We are out of time. I gave you enough. We had an entire... I only did half the show. Maybe next week we'll continue. Either way, you get my point. 714-850-1007. You guys have a great week and do something for 2015. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.